It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie. Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Whoop, whoop!
Whoop, whoop! Welcome. 5 o'clock on a Wednesday. The regular crowd shuffles in. Thanks for checking in. About to get busy. Game two. 2019 World Series. Welcome to Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score. If you want in, 284-8571. I can speak for Nick and I, are delighted you've decided to join us. I just, beyond loving the games and having love to play and watch and talk and goof around, and like the legendary sports writer Jimmy Cannon once said, sports is the toy department of life. I love the symmetry to it, the balance, the circle of life, whether we want to go all Lion King or not. But, in a week or so, the World Series will end, and that gap will be filled by NBA, and then all of a sudden college basketball will come around as college football gets into the teeth of the schedule, and the NFL is here, and then, we get into the winter, and all of a sudden March rolls around again, and as the madness starts and then starts to fade, baseball is back in the Masters in spring and summer, and the magnificent cycle starts once again. Nats tonight obviously could really take a huge step towards their first World Series, go up 2-0 on the road and knock off those two guys heading back to D.C. for the first World Series in our nation's capital since the likes of Joe Cronin and Heinie Manouche and Carl Hubbell played in Giants of New York, won it in 5 against the then Washington Senators. We've got, obviously, a huge Oregon game trying to snap a 4-game skid against Washington State. I think somebody mentioned it's been since 89 to 93, Don James and the Dogs. Nobody's won 5 in a row against this Oregon program in more than a quarter century. So with a chance to, they're in an incredible position in the North. This is pretty much it, barring just, water into wine. What else is happening? We need a little NFL catch-up. Also, NBA 2 hours away from the start of the Blazers season. I know a lot of you are excited about it. I'm envious. I haven't been excited about the start of an NBA season for the Knicks since about 2001. So, hello, yeah, it's been a while. So, if you want in, 284-8571, 'tis the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You can also text us, 321-0824, on Twitter at 953thescore for the station. At Sports Talk 953 for yours truly. At Rick Nodgers for our producer, Nick. Aside from that, we go like this. Let's get to the phones. To the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Bring in Ball City Trent. Hey, Trent, long time no here. Have you been?
I've been well. I was just out walking the dogs, and I was listening to you comment about some stuff, and it sounded like you were backtracking on one of your golden rules.
Which is?
It's not a lie. if you believe it.
Oh, man. By the way, what kind of dogs you have?
Oh, all kinds.
How many were you out walking?
One right at the moment. It's big pit bull.
Okay. You know, you could call and speak well of the show, my family, the Yankees, but when you do things with doggies, you know you win us over, a hand over fist.
I just wanted to call and bust your cojones.
That, well, you know, I respect that as much as anything as well.
Okay, talk to you later, Steve.
Take it easy, Trent. You gotta love that. He's out walking his dogs. He's like, now, wait a minute. What's more important to Steve? Family, grandson, finances, job, health? Nope, Seinfeld.
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Well done. Well played. We're giving out our first gold star to a listener today.
We need to actually start that because I think the gold star thing, it was a great idea. It's been like, what, 2 years since I've had
that brilliant idea
to have an actual gold star calendar where we put stickers by our names. Why haven't we done that yet?
Ugh. Why? Because we get sidetracked. It's lucky we get through the 3 hours every week.
That's
day.
True.
See, I can't even tell you when we're on.
It's just a weird, you know, you just had a weird pause between weekdays.
It was a glitch. There's something wrong with your radio. It's not me. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. By the way, for all of your diesel needs, online, OregonFuelInjection.com, to Ron and Sue and all the great people over there. Much appreciate your many years of magnificent support. Some of the best people you'll come to know. I mean, if you check out some of the charitable endeavors and contributions, they always make a big contribution to the Bilotti MDA effort, and we are humbled by your longtime support, Oregon Fuel Injection. To the hotline we go, bring in Jim. Jim, how's it going?
Hello. Hello, young man.
How you doing? Young man. Wow.
I hear a little feedback there, but anyway, you did read, of course, about what Mike Leach said in today's RG regarding the fact that an assistant coach Washington left for Oregon in one of the last 4 years.
Right.
Which, and his quote was a little sarcastic. Oh, if they want anything to the effect of they just gonna ask us and we'll be glad to help them out a little bit.
I like that. So, good sarcasm.
Yeah. I'm sure that's going to be enlarged and pasted up in the locker room of the Ducks football players as if they needed it.
Yeah, I have a feeling, though, with this coach and their senior leadership, I don't think they need more egging on as a division leader playing a team who's beaten them four times in a row.
No, I don't think so. I do have I think you'll like this. In what I call the peak of, I'm shifting gears here, but it's still related, the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry.
Yeah.
Or Yankees-Red Sox rivalry, which I call the high point, was when Billy Martin was the manager of the Yankees and Don Zimmer of the Red Sox. You remember what Billy Martin called Don Zimmer?
I don't. That would be the 78 season in particular, I would imagine.
Yeah, he called him a gerbil.
A gerbil, gerbil, I'm sorry. I didn't, you know, after all these years, I don't remember that it was Billy Martin and called him that.
Yeah, he said he looks like a gerbil.
He did.
Yeah. Frankly, I think, of course, this is heavily prejudicial. I do think that Mike Leach looks like a gerbil. But any which way, I'm going to shift. And he's on camera about half the time, it seems like, during any Cougar game that's on television. Jumping to Brendan Schooler, could not have he played the rest of the season with the Ducks and applied for a medical hardship for next season since he only played in four games.
Well, that's why he was also able. That's why he was also able to transfer, I think.
Do you think? And we don't know what's inside his mind, but do you think he sees the proliferance of some really potentially good receivers still, you know, that are there now and will be there next season?
No, I think, Jim, the bottom line is, and I appreciate the call, I don't think there's a level of difficulty here. The fact that he was given such support on the way out, I just think as a senior and one of the most experienced guys coming back, he thought his role would be more substantial. It wasn't. He was injured. Obviously didn't count on that. I mean, you could absolutely see that the future of this receiving core might have number four all over it because Micah Pittman is the real deal. And he probably wanted his last year, because he's not an NFL receiver by any means, to be in a situation where he has a more prominent role. I don't begrudge him that at all.
Yeah, because you can play it up to four games and then still possibly redshirt. But if you've already been hurt and you've played in two games, you've gotten through healthy, you're able to see what's going on with the team, you could, you know, you don't want to have to redshirt the whole year and have to file for a medical redshirt and then kind of hope that it goes through to hope you can get a fifth year of eligibility. It's just a lot easier to stay in school, graduate, redshirt this year, and then transfer. And that's the easiness and the simplicity of the transfer portal to do that, is it allows kids to make these kinds of decisions.
Well put.
Thank you.
284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. That brings us to Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Just to add about Brandon's school, you know, I believe, if I remember correctly, he was a walk-on too. I totally get the kid. You know, he gets injured and misses four games, but people don't understand, you know, it's not that easy to come back from an injury, and you're never really fully healthy. It takes longer to get healthy, as you're seeing with Juwan Johnson. So I think the schooler kid, and he was very honest about it, when somebody asked him earlier if he thought about redshirting when he came back from the injury, he said, well, I never even thought about it. Never came to his mind. Well, sometimes in life you have to recalibrate, and maybe I think the kid's making a good business decision for himself, maybe, because also here's something to think about. He was a defensive back originally, so I wish the kid well. I really like him. And, you know, I think he just, you know, may have sat down and just said, man, maybe I should rethink my situation. And
yeah.
One other thing I want to remind people, Steve, is I see a lot of it because I saw some comments about Brendan's school, and I saw some comments about Justin Herbert's performance last weekend, too. Derogatory comments online on, like, O-Live and Twitter. You just got to remember, I mean, Herbert goes 24 for 38 for 280 and four touchdowns, no interceptions, and people are picking him apart. You know, we got to remember, you know, this is entertainment, folks. You know, pro sports is one thing, but these college kids are working their tails off from their student athletes. So,
well, that's what you brought up, and I appreciate the call. People who go online, and you could get on the case of a team's performance, maybe get on the case of a coach. But when you start ripping a college student, that's a reflection on you. Now, if it's the case of a Joe Mixon, who while at Oklahoma punches a woman out and she comes within about 2 inches of hitting her head on a Formica pointed table and killing herself, then yeah, as long as he's an adult and we know the name, it's like, yeah, that kid's a dirtbag and deserves to get ripped a brand new one on an hourly basis. But the performance of a quarterback in a win who played exceptionally well, it's like, That's what I refer to as the fanboys who live vicariously and get frustrated and refers to teams as we when it's really got nothing to do with them. Chances are they never went to the school. They never played beyond middle school. And if they ever stood at the line of scrimmage with a Pac-12 defense facing them, they would need an adult diaper. So, you know, I agree. And by the way, if you're looking for the real class of society and a bastion of intellect and proper analyses, definitely go to a fan comment board or the comment section of Twitter or Facebook or the articles in your local newspaper, because, yeah, that's some highbrow stuff. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. By the way, who the hell was that? There was bases loaded. Somebody on Washington smoked one off the wall for two runs.
Runners on first and second. Anthony Rendon hit
my boy
a line drive to left, and it looked like it was kind of like
Yeah, weird curve. Angle.
Yeah, it looks like it was just cutting towards the foul line, and it hit something off of the Crawford boxes and left. And because it's like a manual scoreboard out there, something was sticking out, and the ball hit it, and it shot back the completely other way. So instead of one or maybe no run scoring, if that ball goes off the wall and straight down, a 2-run score off of Verlander, and he just left 2 pitches up high to Soto, and I thought on both of them, Soto was going to break the bat over his knee when he fouled them because he hit him straight back.
And there are still none out, so now you got this kid up 2-0 Washington already. And you never know, baseball is a unique animal unto itself, and each game is kind of a separate entity. But if Washington goes into Minute Maid and busts up and beats Cole and then Verlander, I can't imagine they're going to rally and win 4 of the next 5, especially with the outstanding rotation. And the thing is, after facing Strasburg tonight and Scherzer last night, then remember, unlike Verlander and Cole, you know, that's kind of the interesting part of the Greinke versus Corbin matchup. They're not flamethrowers. Greinke's probably got a better high end in the upper 90s, mid to upper 90s than Corbin. But Corbin, if he gets that slider breaking off, is just absolutely filthy. So 2-0 Washington on Houston, one out, still batting in the first inning, as Kendrick pops up to right field. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Daryl. Daryl, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you, man?
All right, what's up?
Well, I know this is a little off point, off the subject perhaps, but I was thinking back to the, since this is the eve of the Portland Trail Blazers starting their season.
Yep.
I was thinking back to the one and only time that they won the championship, and I was wondering, do you recall the team members at that point? It seemed like they were an awesome lineup, but I just don't recall who they were.
Going back to 77?
Yeah, I guess so. I think Bill Walton was...
Walton, you know, that was a weird season because they came out of nowhere. They were not expected.
Right.
They didn't. The West was kind of in between that time. There was no real power because, you know, in consecutive years, you had the Blazers win, then Seattle won, Golden State had won in 75. So there was kind of like a power vacuum. But the starters on that team, you had the one of the first true power forwards in Maurice Lucas. The point guard was Lionel Hollins. And then after Walton, you know, it was a lot of role players from Bob Gross to Larry Steele, Johnny Davis. Locally here, those names resonate. If you traveled around the country outside of Walton and Lucas and the fact that Lionel Hollins was an NBA coach, most guys couldn't pick the rest of the players out of a lineup.
You're right there. Anyway, it was a pretty exciting time, and I wish the Blazers well this year. They do have a chance, like anyone else now. Anyway, thanks for taking my call.
All right, have a good one, Daryl. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Yeah, the first time I went to then Memorial Coliseum, and then a few years later, I went to Key Arena when the Sonics were still in Seattle, and I was fascinated by the retired numbers. And you have to remember something. Growing up in New York and going to Yankee Stadium, I was always like, really? Every one of those numbers needs to be retired? Remember when they retired Billy Martin's number, and I was like, Billy Martin, shouldn't you be an all-star, a Hall of Famer, an all-time great? And then I came to realize the franchises that retire numbers, it has nothing to do with anybody else. I know it sounds crazy. It has nothing to do with the league they play in. It has nothing to do with championships. It has to do with the organization, the fan base, and what they meant. And it could just kind of pinpoint a moment in time. And first of all, a lot of those guys who have their numbers retired, you know, who played 3 years, who played 4 years, who played 2.5 years and got traded, but because they represented the lone championship for a city that loves its professional basketball team, its NBA team, as much as anyone, it's, what's the best way to say it? It's really personal, and it's a case of, yeah, if you don't think as an NBA fan the Supersonics should have retired Jack Sikma, mind your own business. Nobody asked you. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You know, Maurice Lucas, that square off in that series with Daryl Dawkins. I mean, that was, what's the next? They used to have a super heavyweight division. It wasn't just a heavyweight division. It was like if those bad boys went toe-to-toe with each other, it was going to rank, it was going to register on the Richter scale. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Somebody just texted me the Blazer game tonight. I assume it's on channel 737 on our Xfinity system down here. But I no, it's on ESPN. Do they black it out if it's on ESPN?
It depends on what kind of ESPN broadcast.
You know
is.
What? I think when you're right, if it's like the standalone game on right. ABC, like on a weekend, it might get blacked out. But I think when it's a full slate of games, it has to do with the exclusivity clause. But yeah, I guess we could find it out. Look at Nick pouncing on this one. So, yeah, you've got the Blazers game day, and it says NBA basketball. You get the best in basketball when you watch the NBA. That was when they used to be on CBS. All right. By the way, appreciate some of the good texts today, and you could continue to do so at 321-0824, but we'd like to hear from you. Let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline and bring in Brad. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, Steve.
What's up?
They get blacked out when it's on TNT, but when they're on ESPN, they show them on the Comcast channel.
Huh. That's interesting. I wonder why that is. I guess it's just part of the contract.
That's what I'm assuming, but that's the way it was all of last season, and it is on 7:37 tonight.
All right. Good info. You sound like you're headed up there. Are you going to the game?
No, just driving home.
Oh, all right. Be safe, Brad. Always good to hear
Thanks,
you.
Man.
All right. A week from tomorrow, what's that? 24:30. Halloween. And once again, KUJZ 95.3 The Score and Kendall Auto Group. We're gearing up. Halloween this year, it's the annual trunk or treat. They've got a really safe way for you and your kids. Enjoy the holiday. And it runs from 4 to 6 p.m. Halloween night. It's in the parking lot behind Valley River Center. So Kendall Auto Group is always on hand. They got a bunch of cool new cars. They fill the trunks with candy for the kids. And parents, you don't get shut out. So get your Halloween costumes together. Join us Halloween a week from tomorrow from 4 to 6 in the parking lot behind Valley River Center. 95.3 The Score's Trunk or Treat. Have a safe and happy Halloween from Kendall Auto Group and KUJZ 95.3 The Score. All right, break time. We'll be back with an update and more sports talk. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
Until the organization comes forward and acknowledges that their statement was misleading and completely irresponsible, the front office of the Astros will have no credibility in this issue. And whenever discipline comes down, and I do think some's coming down, I think more of it's going to be about the statement that the team put out under organization letterhead than the Taubman incident.
Brandon Taubman, of the Astros, the subject of that commentary from Buster Olney of ESPN, who apologized for inappropriate language. Wasn't inappropriate language. You're a heartless scumbag and a macho turd who should have already lost his job after the Astros got the Jose Altuve walk-off on Saturday, if you haven't heard yet. He came, skipping out of the celebration and targeted a female reporter and two other reporters who had chastised them and for signing Osuna, who had served a 75-game suspension for violating the league's domestic violence policy and was deemed so toxic, Toronto just wanted to have nothing to do with him. And he came running out, and especially to one of the reporters from the Houston Chronicle, who had spoken out against domestic violence, was actually wearing a domestic violence awareness bracelet. Thank God we assigned Osuna. I'm so glad, and yelling it in their direction. So that's not inappropriate. That's scumbag. End of story. And then he tried to play, like we were talking with Tyson Alger of the Athletic earlier. He played what Tyson referred to as apology monopoly, which had to, along the lines of, I've got a wife, I've got kids, I'm sorry if I offended anyone, it's an F-minus garbage apology, because you're an F-minus garbage human being, MLB is going to look into this, and hopefully this guy loses his job, because we've said this before, fines, reprimands, suspensions sometimes don't get the point across. You take away what that piece of garbage holds most dearly to him, which would be this high-paying, high-profile front office major league job as one of 30 assistant general managers in Major League Baseball. Oh, you thought that was cute? Yeah, bye-bye. Have a good life, Jag. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So in the World Series, by the way, I think we're tied. Alex Bregman has just jacked one over the left field wall off of Steve Strasburg, and we are all tied up. And if you see the highlight, the first guy in the world who knew that was gone was Bregman. He just went, watched it, and was like, bat in the air, like, yeah, we're tied. The Nats got on the board off of Verlander in the first inning with a two-run double off the left field wall. They actually, Strasburg got off easy this inning because he had a runner thrown out trying to stretch a double into a triple. I didn't even see how the runner who scored ahead of Bregman got on base. I don't know if it was a base hit, but man, that thing is an absolute missile, and we're all even in the second inning. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So, Blazers open up tonight, 7 o'clock ESPN against Denver. It's a very interesting West with suddenly the LA teams loaded up with some big signings. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George with the Clips, AD joining LeBron in La La Land with the Lakers, the Warriors down Klay Thompson and, Kevin Durant is no longer with the franchise. They're not the lock to win the West. Denver is a very interesting team. Utah added a Mike Conley, a stellar point guard, who spent the first 12 seasons of his career with Memphis. I don't know how many people remember that that Ohio State team that played for the national championship against Florida in 2007. Most people around here in the Pacific Northwest think of Greg Oden. Mike Conley was the point guard on that team, who also went one and done, and he's still in the league playing at a high level. Of course, Houston rolled the dice on Russell Westbrook teaming with James Harden. Or, it's interesting. I always forget, re-teaming with Westbrook and Harden because they were both on that Oklahoma City team who won the West in 2012 before falling in five to LeBron and the Heat. As far as Vegas sees it, the favorite is the Clippers. Now, the way the odds board that I printed out did something I think was very interesting. They gave you their current odds, where they were before free agency, where they were before the draft, and where they were before the trade deadline, and where they opened. So the Clippers, after the season, were 16-1. After all that took place, now they're the favorite at 3.5-1. The Lakers were 20-1, and after, you know, getting Anthony Davis and some of the moves they made, 4-1. Interesting, the Bucks were 4.5-1. The second pick in the NBA fell to 6-1 because they really didn't do that much. Le Roquet, who were 10-1, now are 8-1. Same with the Sixers. The Warriors, when the season ended, remember, you didn't know who was going to come back. You didn't know the severity of the Thompson injury, if he was going to come back. They were less than 2-1. Now they're 12-1. The Jazz were 40-1. Now they're 16. The Nuggets, 25-1 or 16. The Celtics were 7-1, fell all the way to 25-1. The Blazers were 40-1 and are now 30-1. So that's it's either the top 10 or the top 9. It's close enough. So what are you guys feeling? And by the way, for the three or four of you, you're exhausting. Somebody will, you know, we get Blazer fans call in, and they, like, get mad that there are Blazer fans in Oregon. I am not kidding.
Wait, Blazer fans are mad that there's
other fans. Oh. I don't know what you got. It's like, what the hell is the difference? What does it have to do with you? It's an unreasonable commentary. But, you know, that the second biggest city in the state of Oregon on a sports show that you're constantly put off by talk of the Portland Trailblazers. Portland's, you know, this guy always said it's like, they're Blazer fans. We're in Oregon. What the hell do you expect? For the matter of fact here, that's a you problem. And if you're telling me, well, if I hosted a show in Eugene, I wouldn't talk about the NBA team that is 1,000 more times more popular than any other. You're either an idiot or a liar because you'd lose your job. So here, get over it. All right? If somebody calls and they talk about the Blazers and you disagree with them, rather than piss and moan at me on text or Twitter, how about call up and make your case? Come out from behind the keyboard and state your case, like these guys are all willing to do. And a lot of them actually say, yeah, I know I'm a Blazer fan. I know I'm seeing life through red and black lenses. But it would be like somebody's like, man, you talk a lot about the Ducks. Really? In a Eugene radio show about sports. Imagine that. Especially a team near the top 10. Who'd have thunk it? Didn't see that one coming.
Team that should be in the top 10. A team that should be in the playoffs, by the way.
Wow. One of these days, I'm just going to come from behind the ear and I'm going to buy a taser. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in the other Nick. Nick, how's it going?
Pretty good, Steve. I just wanted to cap off your frustrations and start talking about Journey a little bit.
Wow, that's well played. I'm sorry, that's just an A-plus comment.
You know, that's usually what I'm bringing to the show because, you know, when I come on, I want to make it special. But I wanted to call in and say, Steve, are you really trying to argue logic with Ducks fans right now? Even if you flip that scenario around, there's some possible logic in a way around. If you could say Auburn could beat LSU and Alabama, and then you just see Oregon and Auburn in the playoffs again, and let's just leave out the Big Ten again, so... You know, we're used to it by now. Put in Oklahoma, Clemson. I think that's a logical scenario to some fans. Not me, but I'm just saying it could be argued.
Well, you know, also sometimes logic and fans are parallel and they never intersect. So I see where you're coming from there.
Well, as a New York guy, you know all about that.
Irrational, insane people? Hell yeah, we wrote the book. All right. Hey, thanks a lot, Nick. Always appreciate somebody calling in to bust my balls. Makes me feel like I'm back home in Jersey. So as I was saying about the lone professional team among the four major team sports in the state we all live in, the Portland Trail Blazers. Or my favorite thing is when people call up and tell me, why are you bringing up this? And it's like, because them and their six genius friends are not fans of the subject or the Blazers. It's like, you know what? The fact that we've got phones, text, Twitter, email, and other means with which to gather data, and we hear from thousands of people a week, I think we might know the pulse of our audience a little bit better than you and your five friends. So thanks for the input, but we're good. Kent Bazemore, one of the new faces, plays small forward, little shooting guard, just turned 30, spent the last five seasons in Atlanta, a starter for most of three. About half the games he played last year off the pine. You know, with Harkless gone, I guess he'll assume that role. There's still a lot TBD. A full season of Rodney Hood, who really won the fans over, especially the fact that he re-signed and talked about how much he was embraced and how much he loved his experience in his half season here. They brought in, by the way, Pau Gasol's now 39. You know, you kind of forget, and time zooms by. The Lakers' last two titles, coming up on 10 years. They won it in 09 and 2010. Gasol's now 39, and while he's a center by trade, he can spell. He'll get some time at power forward, but he's out tonight with a foot issue. And, of course, he's got to hold down the fort when he gets out there until Nurkic returns. And, you know, the question as far as when the big fella might be back, there's literally nothing concrete. I read an article by Joe Freeman of The Oregonian in October. Well, we're in October, so the first week of October. And just for kind of a timeline, the devastating injury he suffered was March 25th, so that's 7 months ago. He is participating in what they refer to as kind of a cliche, basketball-related activities, running, shooting, jumping, running on a treadmill. So the team said they would update his status every time he passes a benchmark. I don't know what the hell that means. Another addition up front is Hassan Whiteside. Kind of a unique case. Played at Marshall. Was an early second round pick back in 2010 by Sacramento. Played sparingly for two seasons. And then he left. He played in China for a year, Lebanon for a year. Returned to the league for half a season with the Heat. And now, for since 2015, 16, 17, 18, and going into this season, I mean, he's an elite rebounder. And he's one of those guys, he scores inside. I mean, he doesn't shoot three-pointers. He hits 58%. I think he could end up being a valuable asset. Sneaky addition not has been made much made of is Anthony Tolliver. He's just with the Pistons, kind of a front-line tweener. He's 6'8", so he's got the size of a 3, but he's 240, 245. He's got the bulk to mix it up with some power forwards. Actually, he played for Dana Altman at Creighton. Ironically, for Altman's last NCAA team with the Blue Jays. He's 34 years old, signed for the vet minimum. And then they had their first-round pick, Nasir Little from North Carolina. He's one of those dudes you see in each draft. And you ask yourself, why did he drop so far? I mean, he ended up going 25th. But, places like NBADraft.net had him 11. Sports Illustrated going 12. ESPN 16. Plus, he had an injury. I mean, he's good to go for tonight. I just, from everything I'm reading, don't expect to see much of him outside of blowouts. And remember, they acquired Mario Hezonja from the Bricks. Remember, this is a guy who originally was a number 5 pick overall with the Magic back in 2015. Good buzz for some nice work during the preseason. We'll see. But anyway, that's kind of little peek-a-loo at what to maybe expect from the Blazers tonight. They tee it up against Denver in an hour and 15 minutes. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let us take a break. We'll be back. More sports talk, including the tweet of the day, 95.3, The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Doc Nick.
Hi, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment. That is, wow, nice catch. Made to chill. It's not play-by-play, though.
A compliment during an intro. That's well played.
Yeah, I played it off like a pro. It didn't bring everything to a crashing halt or whatever.
Not yet.
Some good tweets today. There was an incredible goal scored today in the RB Leipzig game in the Champions League. You just kind of have to see it to understand what it looks like. The camera angle is placed perfectly for this situation from where the player was and how still it was. Basically, there's a cross from the far side of the field that comes all the way back to a player who has to settle down underneath it. He chests the ball down, takes half a step back, winds up, wah-boom! Absolutely hits this ball on like a half volley perfectly. And because the camera was like so still in the right angle, you see the entirety of the swerve that the ball takes to go into the net. And it must have been like 7 or 8 feet. You have to see it. It's video on the radio.
They're changing it from bend it like Beckham to bend it like that dude.
Yes, exactly. many people also tweeting about this one, but at Yahoo Sports NBA tweeted it out. Kyrie Irving in his first game with the Nets scored on a contested layup. And then as he's running back down the court, he looks back and he counts the three guys that he scored on. So he hits this layup. There's three guys that are guarding and going in for this block. It goes in. One guy kind of fell over because they're all running at each other. And he goes, 1, 2, 3.
Nice. He counted them out.
Oh, yeah. He roasted them. But our tweet of the day is not a good tweet. The content of it is something that we should talk about. It's from at SNYTV. The newest food item at Madison Square Garden this season, Cheetos Ice Cream Sundae.
No.
It's there's a picture from Darren Ravel that shows a couple scoops of ice cream with literally a handful of Cheetos just plopped on top. I don't know if you want to see this, but it looks bad.
Nope.
Yep. I think the Knicks kind of went with it because it's orange and their team colors are orange. And I guess their marketing manager must be six, likes Cheetos, likes the color orange, likes the Knicks, likes ice cream. How can this go wrong?
Taste
is, it's a very good point. I don't, that can't taste any good, right? I can't. Like,
well,
cheese.
There's the rule is don't assume something that tastes good over here and over here tastes good when they meet in the middle.
Even Cheetos, like, I think are kind of overrated. Like, they're good. They're fine. They're not as great as a lot of people say they
Never
are.
Never that big of a Cheeto fan. Huge ice cream fan.
Oh, love
the right ice cream. I mean, come on. I'm 12.
I mean, I'm all for adding crunch.
Don't mix
crunch.
It up.
I'm adding crunch to ice cream is also.
And not a big fan of that.
You probably like vanilla ice cream, right?
I like vanilla. I like strawberry. I like chocolate. I like when they're all mixed together. I like mint chocolate chip.
But that's what I mean is like you can add like chips
see,
or little
nuts
like,
and yeah, stuff like that. Not a big fan mixed with ice cream.
But if you have like a little like from a crunch from like a chocolate chip or maybe
that's
like
okay.
A caramel swirl or whatever, you get some duck tracks in there.
Yes. All right. I'm with you there.
That's an acceptable crunch, a texture feature. But Cheetos.
No, I'm calling timeout and lodging an official protest with the ice cream capital of the world.
I don't know what punishment that the Knicks have already gone
through.
Yeah,
by the way.
For whatever bad things the Knicks have already done at this point, putting Cheetos on ice cream puts them at a whole other level of more punishment should be topped on top of that. Because who puts Cheetos on ice cream?
A franchise desperate to incorporate orange and distract from the fact they suck again.
It's the idea of a six-year-old from, like, the market manager, the food manager. Hey, my six-year-old son really likes Cheetos and ice cream and orange and the Knicks. Let's put them all together. That had to have been it. So thanks to @SNYTV for the refreshing tweet of the day. The music ended like an hour and a half ago. We're still talking. You can find me on Twitter @RickNodgers. Steve is on Twitter @SportsTalk953. Go to our Instagram, our Facebook, our Twitter. It's all @953TheScore. You can see our Pet of the Week that we talked about, and you'll be able to listen to all of the show today if you missed any on Spotify and iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts. I should try talking for a little.
Yeah, you were doing so well talking, then it kind of got away from you.
Man.
All right. Home stretch, Wednesday. Looking ahead to tomorrow, we'll talk with Alex Brink, former Sheldon superstar who led them to a state title, then had a really good career at Washington State and is now the Cougs' radio analyst. He'll join us. I completely forgot if it's 3:30 or 4:30. I think it's 3:30. We'll talk with Aaron Fentress of The Athletic. We'll have a lightning round. And, you know, again, tomorrow we'll have college football, we'll have NFL football, we'll have you guys. I'll let you guys do my dirty work. Oh, you're all right. You're okay. So we got that going for us, which is nice. Tonight, World Series Game 2 all tied at 2, about to head into the third. And your Portland Trailblazers get rolling at 7 o'clock. That's the ESPN game against Denver. Like we talked about earlier, guys like Whiteside, Gasol's not playing tonight. Some of the new faces you might see interjected into the lineup. Mario Hazonia maybe in there, but I love what I saw today. You know, I tend to bust chops with ESPN, and sometimes they're just so over the top with blatantly unneeded content. So they posted a video segment about 2 minutes for who's in the running for NBA MVP, and I'll tell you, it's really worth the insider fee to learn that it was Giannis, LeBron, Harden, Westbrook, and Curry, and Anthony Davis. It's like, thanks, I didn't see that one coming. Also Kawhi Leonard. But then they gave that list and said, but I think it's wide open. Well, you just gave all the favorites. How the hell could it be wide open? All right, have a good night, everybody. Thanks for hanging. See you tomorrow. Crunch Time, Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score.